Did you know, maybe some of you know, my kids asked me this morning, so I had to tell them, because I like answering their questions, because then they stop asking them. No, I like that as well. What Mother's Day was all about. And obviously it's about mums, but today, Mother's Day is celebrated here in Australia, but it was actually 108 years ago that Mother's Day was first officially celebrated, on the 10th of May 1908. It's a long time ago. A lady by the name of Anna Jarvis formed the idea of celebrating her mum, and then beyond that, all mums, after the death of her own mother. Her mum died in 1905, and on the second anniversary of her mother's death, she invited some friends over to her house. They had a little memorial service for her mum, and she announced that she had this idea of an annual nationwide celebration for mums, for all mums, that would be called Mother's Day. She wrote to the Methodist Church in Grafton in West Virginia, in America, where her mother had attended for many years, and she suggested that they, in the church there, hold a special service at which all mothers would receive special recognition. And so then, on the 10th of May 1908, the first official Mother's Day service was held in Grafton, where Miss Jarvis, we're told in the history, made sure that all the mothers in the congregation there would take a carnation, which was her mother's favourite flower, and the idea has then taken off. By 1914, the US Senate approved the Mother's Day resolution. The president at the time, Woodrow Wilson, proclaimed the second Sunday in May as the official day to celebrate Mother's Day, and it's now celebrated all around the world. So that's the brief history of Mother's Day. It's been going for a long time, and I guess we've always had mothers. It's interesting that we make such a big deal about Mother's Day, and we should, I think. But it's interesting what today's culture actually says about motherhood, the role of being a mother. In some ways, our culture today both celebrates, but also at the same time downplays motherhood. The role of a mother is both celebrated and downplayed. At times it's idolized, and at other times it's demonized or looked down upon. There are elements in our culture that lift up the role of women, and particularly mothers, and they say, yes, this is what makes you special. This is why you're amazing. Our culture lifts up the fact that mothers give birth and says, wow, that's amazing. This is awesome. This is beautiful. This is a wonderful thing. This is something that only a woman can do. You know, they celebrate the fact that in giving birth we see how strong she is. And any father who's been bedside with his wife during birth knows that this is true. I mean, our wives can take more pain than we ever could. They are amazing. Our culture says of mothers, it is wonderful to carry that little child to term and then to give birth to it. What a precious thing that is. And indeed, that is a precious thing. But then at the same time, it seems our culture is confused. Because then it says of the task of raising children, well, that aspect of motherhood gets pushed down, it gets downplayed, and at times it gets minimized, even demeaned. Our culture seems to suggest at times that this task of motherhood, of being at home and raising your children, of teaching them and instructing them and caring for them and all that goes with managing a home, that this for women is in some ways the last option that a woman should look to. It certainly should not be her first choice. It's confused. Trying to celebrate and downplay the idea of motherhood. Being a mother is hard enough without the added pressure of a confused culture that seems to want to celebrate and downplay the role of mothers all at the same time. So where can we look for clarity? Well, friends, as Christians this morning, we look to Scripture, to God's Word, where the Bible clearly affirms the place of the family as the foundational unit of society. It shows us that mothers have indeed received a high calling and a sacred duty. Mothers, here today, you have received from God a high calling and a sacred duty. in being entrusted with your responsibilities as a mother? Just ponder that for a moment. I would imagine that it seldom feels like that in the midst of the chaos and the busyness of family life. It seldom feels like a sacred duty or a high calling. Too often our mums feel like they're barely keeping up. They're trying to juggle all the responsibilities of being a mum. The daily routine of preparing the lunches, of doing the laundry, of driving the kids around, of making meals and maybe cleaning up the lounge room for the 100th time. These things don't normally fall within the categories of high calling or sacred duty. Being a mum is a tough gig. I came across this quote during the week in a book on families ministry. The author writes this way of motherhood. He said, "The ministry of motherhood is one of the toughest assignments God ever gave to anybody. She has to be as insightful as a psychologist, tough as a drill sergeant, gentle as a nurse. It requires an endless supply of energy, a massive amount of patience, an iron will, and recognition of the fact that if she gets sick, she's got to get well again before the end of the school day." Interesting thing, isn't it, that the biblical view of parenting, of being a father, of being a mother, is that it's a ministry. This was a Christian writer that wrote that quote there. The ministry of motherhood is one of the toughest assignments that God gave to anybody. It's a high calling, friends. It's a sacred duty. And therefore, it's both a blessing and a responsibility, but it's one that God calls us to. Calls you to, mums. And I think we need to be reminded of this. Let's have a look in God's Word about what it says about this important ministry of being a mother. In 2 Timothy, if you have your Bible there, open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy to encourage him. Timothy is kind of like Paul's spiritual son. And in this letter, we capture a little glimpse of the goal of Christian parenting. I wonder if you can see what that might be as we read the text together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read from verses 3 to 5, and then we'll flip over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. So be prepared to move forward in your Bible if you're following along there. We'll put it on the screen as well too, but have your Bible there before you. Paul writes this way to Timothy. He says, "I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Go to chapter 3 and verse 10 of 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul continues, he says, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra with the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed, and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Did you catch it? The goal of Christian parenting, the goal of being a mother. It's interesting that it's nestled in here, in this little letter from Paul, a man, to Timothy, who wasn't even his real son. He was his spiritual son. And in this lovely letter to Timothy, we catch a glimpse of this goal of Christian parenting, the goal of being a mother, I believe. Notice that Paul starts off in thanking God in chapter 1 and verse 5 there of 2 Timothy. He remembers Timothy in his prayers and he says, Timothy, I'm thankful to God for you. When I remember you, when I pray, I'm thankful to God for you. His spiritual son. What's he thankful for? What's he remembering? Look at verse 5. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. Paul is thankful for Timothy's faith. And as we read the Bible, as we read from Old Testament to New Testament, from cover to cover, it makes it clear for us, as we look at all of the information it has to say to us about Christian parenting, the Bible is clear on this. The primary goal of Christian parenting is to nurture faith in our children. That's the goal. Of being a dad, that's the goal. And of being a mum, that's the goal. It's faith. Yes, being a mother, friends, is about caring for your kids. It's about loving them. It's about loving your husband. It's about giving them practical help, instruction, correction. It's all of those things. But the biblical picture, the goal of Christian parenting, of being a mother, the primary task is to impart faith in Jesus. That's the goal. That's the high calling. That's the sacred duty of a mother and of a father. We are to do all those other things that go along with being a mother, keeping our kids safe, feeding them, loving them, educating them. But the goal is faith. That they would come to know Jesus and see him as Lord. Everything else you do, mums, for your kids, for your home, for your family, for your husband, everything else that you do is good. But the best thing that you can do, the ultimate goal, is to nurture faith. I want to encourage you mothers this morning, whether you've been mothers for 40 years or whether you're just starting out, don't lose sight of this truth. I think in the busyness and the mess at times of being a mum, we can overlook this. In the busyness and chaos of all that needs to be done as parents, don't lose sight of the goal. Keep it in view. Our kids might come to see Jesus. That's what Paul wants to encourage Timothy with here. It's what he says to him as his spiritual son. He says, Timothy, young man, my spiritual son, this was the goal all along. This is the most important thing for you. Your walk with Jesus, this is what really matters. This is the goal. And I think this should encourage us as parents, whether we're fathers or mothers, especially for mums on a day like today, keep that goal in mind. Don't lose it in the busyness and the mess of being a mum. Know, mothers, this morning, that being a mother is not about producing perfect kids. Being a mother is not about being the perfect wife or being the perfect mum. Your goal as a mother is to impart faith, to share Jesus. When we think about that, isn't that the goal of every Christian? Whether we're a man or a woman, whether we're married or single, whether we're older or younger, we're called to bear witness to the power of the gospel at work in our hearts, at work in our lives, at work in this world. We're called to live our lives in such a way as to point to Jesus. So maybe you're here this morning and you're not a mum. Don't switch off. This still applies to you. If you know and love Jesus, that's your goal, to point to him. If we think about this goal of Christian parenting, if it is to nurture our kids' faith, then I guess it raises a question for us as parents this morning, and for mums, certainly it raises the question this morning. Mums, how is your faith? If your high calling and sacred duty is to impart faith to your children, how's it looking? How's it going? Is it growing, your faith in Jesus? Amidst the mess and busyness of being a wife and a mother, how are you nurturing and growing your faith in Jesus? See, if that's the goal, we can't afford to let that which is most important become secondary or get slipped off to the side. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you need to work on this. I don't know. But mums, let the work of God, the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit show you if this is the case. Thinking about my own journey as a parent, I'm still a young parent. I know, thinking back, that it became a lot harder to find time to spend in the Word and in prayer once kids came along. Suddenly, all that extra time that you once upon a time had, you don't have anymore. Life suddenly becomes extra busy. Things take a lot longer to get done. Sometimes you end up doing many things at once or not doing a lot of things at all that you hoped you'd get to. And I know for many mums here at City North, this is the case. Mums, can I encourage you this morning? You can't afford to hit the pause button on your faith. If your goal as a mum is to impart faith to your children, you need to be growing. You can't afford to think that you'll get back on track once your kids are older or when things quiet down. Mums, can I encourage you this morning? Don't neglect your devotional time with the Lord. Don't neglect time in the Word and in prayer. Nurture your faith. If you need some encouragement with that or some assistance, talk to somebody. We're a community of faith here. We're a family. We've talked about that this morning. Maybe meet with some other ladies for prayer. Read the Bible together. Join one of our home groups or our small group Bible studies. Make time for God. There are a bunch of different options for ladies here in this faith community. But don't isolate yourself as a mother. You need to make space and time for Jesus. You may need to be creative about that. Fit it in, but it must be a priority. I just talk to the dads for a moment. Dads, you need to help your wives in this. You need to encourage them in this. You need to lead them in this. This is your role as husbands and fathers to lead your family here. Help your wife so she can have some time spare to spend in the Word and prayer. Pray together as a couple. Nurture your faith together. Because this is the goal of Christian parenting. It's not just the goal for mums, it's the goal for dads as well too. So work on that together. Grow together. All right, so that's the goal of being a godly mother. Let's look at some of the priorities then. What does the Bible say about the priorities? How might this happen? What does it look like? Have a look with me at Titus chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. Look at what Paul says again to Titus here in the first five verses about the role of mothers, the priorities that they should have. He says to Titus, "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled and sound in the faith, in love and in endurance." He's giving instructions for the church, for homes, families. And in verse 3, Titus chapter 2, he goes on. He says, "Likewise, Titus, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God." Notice that earlier we read in 2 Timothy that Timothy's faith came as a result of the teaching and instruction of his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. And here, writing to Titus, Paul says, "Titus, instruct the older women to teach the younger women." This points to us that one of the key priorities of godly mothers is to teach their children, to teach other women what it means to live out this godly calling of being a wife and a mother. So he says in verse 3 there, teach the older women, be reverent in the way they live, don't be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but teach what is good. What Paul's doing here is he's recognizing the value of teaching, and he's recognizing that the priority of this role for women, for mothers. He says a big part of the high calling, the sacred duty of godly mothers is to teach. He recognizes the role here of mature women who are able to bring wisdom and counsel to younger women. And I think that's important. Let me just make a point here. Don't get too hung up on which one you may be. Paul mentions both older women and younger women. If you think about it, the reality is you're probably both older women and younger women at the same time. If you're a 30-year-old woman, you are younger today than a 40-year-old woman. But you are older than a 20-year-old. You're both older and younger. What Paul seems to have in mind here is that a woman who has reached a certain point of age whereby life has brought to her experience, sympathy, understanding. And this experience, this sympathy, this understanding is interwoven with the authority and the truth of the Bible. And it puts that woman in a good position to be a good and godly influence in the lives of younger women, especially in the realm of motherhood. There is great value, it seems, when older women live as an example of the Christian life so that they might teach and instruct younger women how to be godly mothers, godly women. Friends, this is a high calling and a sacred duty. Notice he says what they're to teach. He says in verse 4, teach them how to love their husbands and children. And then in verse 5, teach them how to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. This is the next two priorities for godly mothers. First one is to teach. The second one is to love. Love your husband and children. Maybe you find it odd that Paul includes in his instructions that older women would teach the younger women to love. You think about it. Do we really need to learn how to love husbands and children? My guess is, mothers, if your husband is anything like me, if your kids are anything like mine, then maybe you do need teaching, because it's not easy. It's not easy to love your husband, and it's not easy to love your children. We are sinful, selfish creatures. And at times it's demanding being a mother. At times it's exhausting. You're constantly sharing and giving all of yourself all of the time. But Paul says a mother's priority is to love her husband, to love her children. And I think that this needs to be taught, because it's hard work. Paul's not talking about the schmoopy kind of love, the Hollywood kind of romance, that kind of surface, passive, mushy feelings of love. That's important in love. It's part of it. We need romance. We need the schmoopy stuff. We need the feelings. That's all part of love. But the type of love that Paul is actually getting at here, when he says, teach these younger women to love their husbands and love their children, he's getting at the very heart of love, the action of love. That choice, that commitment, that daily sacrifice of love. And that's where it gets hard. When you're called to love your sinful husband who mucks it up. You're called to love your sinful kids who disobey. It's part of the confusion of our culture today, I think, and why this is such a mess. Our culture today has allowed love in relationships to kind of get to a point where it's kind of a, well, I'll love you if you love me kind of love. Our culture today says that love in relationships is mostly a feeling. It's something that you can lose. You can fall into and out of love. And yet, friends, that idea of love that our culture would spin to us, it runs counter to the description of love in the Bible. Biblical love, this kind of love that Paul is saying we need to be taught, is a love that's more than a feeling or an emotion. It's a decision, an action, a choice that involves commitment and sacrifice. And ultimately, it's based on and bought out of God's love for us. It's only by nurturing a love for God can a husband or a wife seek to love each other as God intended. We need to learn, friends, what that looks like. Mothers need to learn to love their kids. We shouldn't allow the culture of our day to dictate what that looks like. Because as it relates to mothers and kids, that'll end up being a love that only loves when it's convenient, or only loves in a certain way. We need the truth of God's word. We need the power of his gospel to show us what it looks like to truly love our kids as he intended. Biblical love for our kids means providing for them, yes. Giving them security and affirmation and belonging and discipline and guidance and respect and hope. But more than that, biblical love for our kids means leading them to the great truth of God's love for them, leading them to the gospel. That's the love that Paul's talking about. And we need to learn that. Third priority of godly mothers in verse 5 of Titus 2. It kind of reads there like a shopping list of character qualities. There's a bunch of them there. Verse 5 of Titus 2. Teach these mothers to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. You could summarize all of that in verse 5. Paul's saying, teach them to live as godly examples as they discharge that high calling, that sacred duty of being a mum. Live as godly examples. Point to Jesus. There's no greater contribution to husbands, to children, to society than the selfless activity of mothers in relation to their homes. This is work, mums. For most mothers, it's more than a full-time job. It's one that we should value and affirm. And as you go about that work, bear in mind that you live as godly examples to your kids, to your neighbors, to your family, to your culture of the day that's so mixed up about this role of mothers. Notice that living as godly examples means being kind as you go about this work. I wonder, why does Paul mention and single out this particular fruit of the Spirit? Being kind. Why does he tell mums to be kind? One commentator said that perhaps this is because the demands of home can squeeze the kindness out of even the most saintly of mothers. And mums cop it. They're constantly called for hundreds, thousands of times a day. Mom, mom, mom. The demands, the pressures of being a wife and a mother can at times be overwhelming. Sometimes you wish you could just have 5 minutes peace. In those moments, mums, remember to be kind. Remember that fruit of the Spirit. Remember that we need God's help to be kind. I think Paul lists this here for mums because our kids will remember that. They'll remember our kindness. It'll help to point them to the loving kindness of their Savior, who loved and sacrificed for them. So that's the priority of mothers. What about the purpose then? We've looked at the aim, but how does that connect back to the aim then? The purpose of godly mothers and families, Titus 2:5, it connects us back to that. Paul says that mums should live a godly example with their life so that no one will malign the word of God. You get that there in verse 5? He says, love your husbands and your children. Live godly examples. Teach them all these things so that no one will malign the word of God. What he's pointing to here is that the practical effect of this type of lifestyle, of taking this call to motherhood as the seriously high call and sacred duty that God has given you, if you take that view, if you live that way, people will look at your life and your conduct as a mother, and they should have no reason to malign the word of God. Not only that, but perhaps they might notice that point of difference in your family. They might notice that point of difference in your view on being a mum. And they might even at times approach you and ask the question, why? I believe that if you're willing to say that the Bible calls you to this, if you affirm that, own that, believe that the Bible calls you as a mother to love and respect your husband, to love your kids well, to walk with God, and to point to Jesus. If you believe what the Bible says, that it's your role as a mother, it's your sacred duty to do things and value things that God says over what culture says, you will be different. And your family will be different. And you will point to Jesus. It's a high call. It's a sacred duty. We want to affirm you this morning as mums in that. There's all that cultural confusion about the role of mothers, but then here is this biblical clarity. And you as mums need to decide which you're going to take. It's interesting that in Luke chapter 11, Jesus is teaching. And towards the end of Luke chapter 11, he's teaching. And somebody, a lady, sings out from the crowd. And just turn to it here for you. Luke 11, verse 27. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Someone called out to Jesus and said, "Your mum, she must be awesome." She was. She obeyed God. She trusted Him. She discharged and took seriously this sacred duty and high calling of being a mum. I'm sure she did. So Jesus wouldn't have any problem with that. I don't think Jesus would have had a problem with us celebrating mothers today. We should. It's a noble task. But notice what Jesus says in reply in verse 28 of Luke 11. He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." That's where it lands, doesn't it, mums? Do you look at this biblical clarity of your role as a mum? Do you hear the word of God and obey that? Can I encourage you, don't listen to the culture of your day that demeans and puts down your role. Yours is a noble task. You've received from the Lord a high calling and a sacred duty. The goal is faith. The priority is to teach, to love, to live as godly examples. The purpose is to point to Jesus. On this particular day, it's my great privilege on behalf of all of the dads who are here, the men who are here, to say to you, our mums, the godly women of our church, whether you're older or younger, we honour you, we value you, and we want to pray for you in this task. May you know the love of Jesus and His grace as you discharge all of the responsibilities of that important role that He's given to you. Let me pray. Father God, we just want to thank you for your word. Father, we just thank you for what it says to us as your people. Lord, for how it encourages us to live for you. Father, we just thank you for the wonderful way in which you have designed families to point to the wonderful transforming power of your gospel of grace. Father, we thank you for the high calling, the sacred duty that you've given to parents, to dads and to mums, to teach their kids the wonderful truth of your gospel, to nurture their faith. Lord, we just want to pray particularly for our mums today, that you would bless them in that task. Lord, that they would have that goal brought clear into focus again this morning amidst the confusion of our culture which seeks to devalue this task. Lord, would you just embolden our mums in this wonderful high calling that you've given to them. Father, we just thank you that you call us into family, that we are a family of faith here. Lord, we thank you for all of the wonderful godly women in our church, whether they've had children of their own or just have helped to nurture and encourage spiritual children like Paul did with Timothy. Lord, there's so much that we can learn from these godly women. Lord, would you encourage them in their role as they teach these younger women and encourage them in this wonderful task of being a wife and a mother. Father, we just thank you that we can point to Jesus. Would you help our mums to do that? Father, thank you that you have given us all that we need in Jesus our Savior. What wonderful joy and peace fills our heart as we consider Christ our King. Father, we just pray that his grace would be upon every mum here. Lord, that his grace would be upon everybody who this morning remembers a mum that has taken this noble task and have fulfilled it well for God's glory. Father, we just pray for your wonderful truth to encourage all our mums. We pray this in Jesus' name.